Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, you're joking. No, not another one. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And that man, Pete Dolson's here.
I just got that reference and it was very good, Marcus.
Welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody.
I don't know what the reference is.
Do you not?
No.
It's that lady who's very upset about being
the
a snap election. Yeah.
Right, sorry, yeah. Got it.
Yeah, so we're doing a snap Football Ramble on the Tuesday night.
Yeah.
just to really, really solidify our base.
Realising that we forgot to do one last night.
Yeah.
Of course not, it was Easter, and we had a lovely time, and I hope you did as well, ladies and gentlemen. We're back now.
Back now. Daddy's on.
No, the children are home.
The children are home. Yeah. Daddy's not. Daddy left for a pint of milk some years ago.
Indeed,
he's coming back.
Yeah. But he did only have his slippers on.
Before we talk about the Premier League title race, which is bloody on, by the way.
I hate to say I told you so. I don't. I love to say I told you.
I'm glad that you can say I told you
so. It's in my top five favourite things to say.
Is it your top five things to hear?
More on that in a minute.
All right. Well, league titles in this country can be decided on goal difference. Everyone's aware of this. In other countries, not so. Not
head to heads.
Yeah, indeed. If you could introduce one extra factor that could win a team an extra point each season, so we perhaps not have to have goal difference and whatnot, what would it be? Jimmy, you go first.
For me, I'd like to bring the 12th man in. Got a lot of technology now.
Delia. So
in the top four.
Delia Swift.
Yeah, I'd like to get them involved. And basically, the loudest fans over a season would win a point. And obviously, you've got to make sure that that's fair. So, you know, the teams with the bigger stadiums don't have an advantage. So I guess you'd have to do some sort of average against attendance.
Jim, I'm struggling already. Why are you bringing this in?
You're not getting fourth with that kind of behaviour.
I'm done with those clowns. I'm not helping them anymore.
name
going
name.
Down there.
Just screams of horror count.
We already updated the website. Now it says ex-Arsenal fan. Just a lover of football.
Yeah. Arsenal victim.
No,
I love you really. But yeah, no, that's how I would do it, because there's a lot of talk of, you know, the 12-man gene up the team and that being a huge, huge advantage. Mm. And there's also a lot of talk of the atmosphere not being good enough in Premier League stadiums anymore.
In
the Emirates Stadium. but it's not just there, is it? Anfield's had the same criticism. You hear it a lot.
Newcastle are very quiet this season. They're not in the Premier League.
But still. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you'd discount away fans. That's probably for some sort of audio scientist to sort out.
Don't get into the nuts and bolts. Well, exactly. You're a broad brushstrokes man.
We'll be here all day and we'll learn nothing.
There's absolutely no point.
A man with GCSE maths and physics.
Yeah. Exactly. Just about.
I actually did combined sciences at GCSE, if you're talking about me.
Oh, that's the rubbish one, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, I wasn't talking about you, but I also did it as well.
I like to make it all about me.
I did biology. Standard grade level, because it was in Bonnie, Scotland.
Okay. Yeah, right.
But back to the opening
So
question.
You did separates.
Let's not talk about how uneducated we are.
Yeah.
I think it's better
I'm just worried Marcus doesn't have a handle on physics or chemistry.
Pete, the listeners have already assumed.
That's a surprise to you. that's what I have. The loudest fans would get an extra point for their team. It's really motivate them.
It's really sickeningly worthy, that. It's really worthy.
Good.
I'm very much for modern football, as we all know, so I prefer it.
Come on, Morsey.
You could do that by bringing back rattles, couldn't you? Because they're really loud and quite shrill.
None of us, I think I'm right in saying, apart from possibly Marcus,
owned a rattle.
Pete definitely wasn't enjoying the atmosphere, in quotes, at the Madrid derby a couple of weeks ago, because we had a hangover.
We did have a hangover, yeah.
And the whistling was frankly too much.
Yeah. The whistling's mad out there. Yeah.
You did have a hangover.
We've heard this before. But like tonight in the Leicester Atletico game, you heard the whistles from the Leicester fans. And sometimes you hear it in European grounds when English fans try to do it. And it's just not the same somehow.
Would that count in the volume?
Well, it would, of course.
Yeah. That would be the better thing to do, because the higher the pitch, that actually helps with the decibels. That's what you want to do if you want.
Right. Well, it's not my answer.
Yeah, right. Fire up your Bunsen burner. What have you got?
I've burnt myself again. This question reminded me of when we used to do, you guys probably all remember this, when you play for a football team when you're a kid, and in the summer you'd have summer six-a-side tournaments.
Right.
That's
right, yeah.
On a Saturday.
The tenant sixes they used to have in Scotland.
Always get tenants, sponsored by tenants.
For kids?
Yeah.
Seriously?
No, but it wasn't that was actually the professional players used to play in a final six-a-side tournament years ago, yeah.
Tenant sixes.
Anyway, I don't know if you guys, my two memories from those types of tournaments, and it might just be me talking here, is one is that I used to get horrifically sunburnt, standard. Mm-hmm. Two is that sometimes it seemed in certain years, if there was a draw, as in you play the six-side game against another team, you drew 1-1, the referee would decide on the amount of corners you've been
ordered. That's right,
And I actually took part in one six-side tournament once at my school, but it was for my local team, where they were offering 4 points for a goal and 1 point for a corner.
Yeah, that's poor.
So
insanity.
So you could win 1-0. Technically, but if the other team got 5 corners, you lose 5-4.
Yeah, but see, that's it. For me, it was...
I would say to the listeners, Marcus, don't tweet me about this.
Yep.
I don't want to have a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. It happened.
You need all the conversations you can get, mate.
That's the only one I get.
I went through a knockout game with an extra corner. The team did, which was strange for us. We had no idea that was the rules. And our manager went, we were thinking, all right, we've got extra time. No, don't worry, lads. We got one more corner from them until we're through. And we were like, what?
I don't want it. Yeah,
but exactly. As a defender, if you've got that in your head, you're like, I don't want to put the ball. Because
you're basically conceding a goal.
Yeah. It nervy.
Literally better to score an own goal than give away 5 corners. my answer is, and what I would I'd award it to throw-ins. No, I would essentially get them to top up all the stats, because everyone's got stats these days. And the team that had run the least amount of kilometres would go through. Because they've been the most efficient.
Yeah, they've been economic.
Okay. They've conserved their energy.
They've not had to run as far as the other team. They're more economical.
Spoken like a man in his mid-30s. Conserving energy for the winter.
Spoken like a man who's been in his mid-30s for quite some time.
Yeah. who let the ball do the work? That's how it goes through. Peter?
I would definitely go for collective style of bench. The clothing they wear, the things they choose to represent themselves.
Ironic, given what you're wearing today.
I'm dressed particularly badly today, I've noticed. Like, really badly.
I've noticed. Like, you didn't dress himself.
Look how short my trousers are.
You sort of dress more normally than normal.
Even by your own basement standards.
Terrible.
You're dressed like two different people at the same time. Yeah. Like, from the waist up and the waist down, you're different men.
I'm like someone out of Guess Who.
You know when people say they look like they were dressed in the dark this morning? You look like you would got dressed in zero gravity as well.
In the dark and someone else did it.
Just grabbing everything I can. No, I was just thinking about it when I was watching Conte on the sidelines. Beautiful three-piece suit.
The cap.
What's that about?
Yeah, I noticed that.
He should not be winning the league like that. And to be honest, he's gone the right way about losing it.
Is that a four-piece suit if you had a cap to it? I love that. All right. I've gone for... if a manager can stand on the sidelines in complete silence for the whole 90 minutes...
Arsene Wenger?
Yep.
Fourth official, sorry.
Then they get a bonus point.
Okay.
It's a complete silence. Camera on them the whole time, mic'd up.
They've not had to coach, so they're technically better because they've done it without sound.
Right, and also, as well, imagine if their team's like scores. You know, Mourinho... he didn't really celebrate against Chelsea, but if it was a big game and they maybe score the winner in the last minute after being a couple of goals down and they pull it back, you've got to be silent. You can't go, yeah! So you have to do a silent celebration.
What is your rules on tapping the badge like Mourinho did over the weekend?
No, tapping the badge is fine. That was after the game.
He pointed out, though, he was tapping the Aon sponsor.
Yeah, he's a company man.
Big into brokerage.
Yeah.
I know what side my bread's button on.
At least locate the badge. If you're going to kiss the badge or touch the badge, locate the badge.
But can I just say, before you dish out the points, Pete's answer is an absolutely unfettered nonsense because no one is dressing stylish on the bench because they're wearing their training gear.
I mean the coaching staff, because the coaching staff
again wearing training gear.
Yeah, they shouldn't have to, though.
In Pete's world, they don't have to, though, do they? That's where you compete for that extra point.
Oh, Spice Boys cream suit.
Sorry, I can't take the warm up today. I've got a pair of slip-ons on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we like talking points in football. Pete's is the biggest talking point. He's got the points.
Oh God,
yes.
I should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah, I'm a rabble rouser.
I'd be surprised the amount of times I hear that.
That'll teach you. Let's go on to the Premier League, where Manchester United beat Chelsea 2-0. It's ruddy on.
It's Mourinho's birthday.
It's ruddy. Oh, he loves it, doesn't he?
He absolutely loves it.
Mildly reminiscent of when he sport Liverpool's title race the other year, of course. Yeah. Although he would, it's still 4 points. But Luke, you said when it gets to 6 points, it's on. It's 4 points.
I think their goal difference is really good as well.
Yeah.
Much better. I think it should really be accepted. It should be the accepted wisdom that if there is a team within 6 points of the top team, it's a title race. I mean, if you're getting within two results, it's got to be a title race.
There's one game left.
Well, then it's not a title race.
Yeah, right.
It literally isn't.
Chelsea's running is a little bit better.
It is easier.
And when I say a little bit, I mean a lot better.
They're playing Everton. That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is the game.
Well, if it comes to follow up on what you're talking about, there's one game left. If it comes down to the final game of the season, Chelsea are at home to Sunderland, so it's all over. Spurs know they need to do something. Get their nose in front, whether it be goal difference, as Jim said, or a point or two, whatever, ahead of the last of the season, because Chelsea will win that game easily.
But if, and I think you said, Luke, and other people have said it, that if Spurs can beat them in the cup, that'll put the chills up them.
Will it? Because they're not playing each other, are they, at any point? So I think you'd look at Spurs.
But there's a psychological thing.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, but Conte has said as well, isn't he, this week, that Spurs are the best team in the country and he has to accept that, which obviously Trump put a bit of pressure on them.
Well, they are, though.
But I think the only game you'd look at and wonder if they could win it is the Man United game. Otherwise, I'm sure they'll beat Arsenal. And you think that they just don't look like, losing, do they, Tottenham? They don't really look like dropping points.
They can't drop points. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, look, I still think Chelsea are going to win the league. I love the fact that it's down to four.
Isn't there a chance that Leicester could beat Spurs to hand Chelsea the league?
Wow. I thought you could say, isn't there a chance that Leicester can still win it?
Yeah.
It's not that fair, Joel.
I do still think, I mean, if you look at, we talked about betting odds, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, about how that reflects on percentage chance, and the bookmakers rarely get it wrong, as we all know. They've still got Chelsea down as an 85% chance. So, clearly Chelsea are in the driving seat. But we said on the show a couple of weeks ago, if they get through the Bournemouth game and the United game, they're home in the house, but they haven't got through the United game. They were beaten quite badly. They were by far the second best team. Spurs are playing some of the best football, well, probably the best football I've ever seen Spurs play.
Yeah,
they are casting teams aside. They're blowing teams away, and they've got the momentum with them, which is important. Is the momentum going to be worth 4 points or 5 points? Don't know, but it's going to be closer than maybe some people thought.
I think one thing that's maybe being overlooked a little bit is Diego Costa's form, which has hugely, hugely dropped off. His head was clearly turned in January. Mm. He doesn't really look as motivated or as interested. It almost looked like he was trying to get sent off against Man United.
We saw the worst of him against United, for
absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, the contrast between his performance and Rashford's performance, given their ages and that Rashford was up front, very much isolated in a way where he's clearly sort of told he was going to play like that and made a you know, did a fantastic job of it. Like, it's quite telling. They have to get Costa to step up, and you wonder if he's in a point where he needs dropping for whatever reason. Like, Batshuayi coming in, you know, he's not played much. That weakens them. So, yeah. I mean, that's a little glimmer of hope for Spurs as well.
Is the 2016-17 season going to be remembered for the real comeback for the back three? I know we've seen other teams do it, tinker away, but obviously Chelsea
Arsenal
have done it.
Arsenal did it the other night.
Arsenal did it the other night, and you know it's in vogue if Wenger's doing it. You know, he's very much finger on the pulse. Spurs did it to great effect when they beat Chelsea at White Hart Lane, and then Manchester United did it with a back three against Chelsea at Old Trafford.
Yeah, you're right, and I think I agree with what Jim said. I mean, it's telling that in that game against United at Old Trafford, a game where you could argue titles are won and lost. You know, if you go to Man United and win, I know they're not the team they were, but they don't lose many, if any, really, in the league at the moment. Their two best players, Hazard and Costa, didn't show up, didn't do what they needed to do. Costa was his old self again. Not his old self, but
the pantomime villain self.
Yeah, indeed. And Hazard, I mean,
Herrera did a job on it.
Well, I was going to say, we don't really dish out serious trophies for individual performances in football, and rightly so. But if you're looking for the best individual performance of the season, mm-hmm. I think Ander Herrera came pretty close to that. I mean, he dished out an amazing assist, scored a really important goal. I mean, listen, he set up the opening goal, which is really important, obviously. He scored the clinching goal. He did a number on arguably the best attacking player in the league this season, had him in his pocket. It was a complete all-round performance. Mm. Absolutely fantastic to watch. And Hazard, I mean, I agree with what Gary Neville said. That's the difference between being one of the very best players in the world and maybe just a notch below that, because Hazard had no answer for it. And you know what? I'll even go further than that. I mean, last season when Chelsea fell off the ball badly, Hazard was one of the worst culprits. If you look at the stats for his season and some of his performances last season they had, which was a write-off essentially, none of the top players in the upper echelon, no Ronaldo or Messi or Zlatan has ever had a season like that.
Yeah, Peter, it was nice to see young Marcus Rashford.
He was fantastic, wasn't
he? In a big game like that, getting a goal.
Is that what happens when you drop Zlatan? The narrative again. he gets a bit more freedom, and he just feels a little less like he's got someone to pass to effectively, and he takes it on himself.
Yeah, I think they needed pace against Chelsea, I think, and obviously Rashford gives them that. But it gives me a warm glow when Rashford scores.
Yeah, well, because it reminds me of when we were younger and Michael Owen broke through. Like, just the fact this guy's like 18 years old, you can see he's a kid just living his dream, and that joy is infectious.
Teenager. Yeah. Rashford's getting older.
Yeah. Everyone is. I'm sorry to break it to you.
What did you guys think of the timer to the John Terry announcement, by the way?
Well, Carragher and Neville weren't happy about it.
Well, I was interested because obviously, at first glance, knowing the type of, or thinking we know the type of character John Terry is, it's like making it all about him and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, the sort of...
I don't think he would do that.
Well, the cynical side of me thinks maybe they had that arrow quivered when Chelsea had a difficult result and they wanted to relieve the attention on themselves. And so John Terry's been the sacrificial lamb, thus essentially influencing the title race without even being able to get a game and choosing that moment for his announcement.
But narrative, Peter.
Well, maybe it was just to kind of like a G-ups going, well, let's do it for... You know, you're your captain. Let's do it for John Terry. Let's get over the line. So maybe it was a message to the squad more than the wider media.
Or they'd heard advanced news about the election. Yeah. Thought, let's bury this news under that.
Maybe I think it's all those.
John Terry's going to run for the Labour leadership.
Yeah. If would not be Labour. Would no be Labour. I think you know that, Marcus.
I think we all know the type of man that we think John Terry is. I'll give Marcus a moment to compose himself.
That was a good comment.
It's a great line, Pete.
It's a lovely little comment.
Yeah. Let's be self-referential.
All I was going to say was, really, and Marcus, you're undermining this with your antics. John Terry has been absolutely incredible footballer in the Premier League.
Of course. If you look at the list of things he's won, it's probably only Ryan Giggs and you know, obviously Frank Lampard would come close to it, really.
A few things that stand out for me, Jim. One is that he's...
At his own club.
He's appeared in 578 games as captain for Chelsea.
That is incredible, isn't it?
He's won two league titles, he's won more than that in total, but two of his league titles came 10 years apart.
Yeah.
And he won his most recent title in 2015. 10 years after he was voted player of the year.
Look, remember when he slipped over though?
Yeah,
it was really good.
This is
Because when Pete comes in and goes, yeah, but he said that thing to that fella once, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. I was chatting to a couple of people.
I agree with that.
I was chatting to a couple of people. I know you do.
I agree with that.
And that's the
beauty. How many appearances did that knock off of his
We've got one foot in either camp.
If he chose his own clothes, would he be wearing Stone Island? Probably yes. So.
Yeah, you'd imagine so.
Well, listen, it'll be improved what you're wearing today.
He's eager to carry on and stay in the Premier League. West Brom and Bournemouth have shown interest. Pete, you'd have him at Newcastle, even with all his views.
It'd be a step up on pretty much everything we've got at the back right now. So, yeah, probably.
Literally really can't run anymore.
No. Again?
I tell you, him next to the fella you have, the captain, Lascelles, is it?
Yeah.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Well, he needs to learn how to be a captain, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, John Terry?
He's a good talker.
Indeed.
Marcus, before you move on, yes. I was just going to say, I was speaking to someone earlier who shall remain nameless, who told me that John Terry actually had the chance to go to Bournemouth in January on loan.
It was Jim, wasn't it?
He didn't want to go. He wanted to stick around.
Where do you think he's going to go? Because Bournemouth and West Brom are mooted. I was talking about the nightmare scenario of he and Daniel Sturridge being the players that Arsenal signed in the window.
I don't think you're going to Arsenal, mate. No. I thought you were getting the team.
I wonder about Palace, maybe.
I think West Brom's a shoo-in.
I think it's a fair shout with Palace. I totally get that.
Palace of money in China, more like.
Yes. Yeah. He could build his own palace. He could rebuild the Crystal Palace. But West Brom, I think, with Pulis, having Kebab.
I think that's the most likely. And before we move on, I was actually going to say that one of the things that also made me laugh around that Chelsea game was that, apparently, I don't know if this is true, but I read that Thibaut Courtois was injured because he was filming an advert and he was playing basketball.
That's
and injured
right.
himself.
Yeah, that's the rumour.
Then they got a player injured in the warm-up as well.
Yeah, Alonso, yeah. Football. When players are getting injured for that sort of stuff.
You know what?
I used to
play Sunday football with a guy who was Francesco Totti's stunt double in adverts.
Right.
And because it's very difficult for a professional footballer to injure themselves when doing those kind of adverts because they turn up. They only do the shots. Well, I don't know. Nowadays, I'd imagine it's the same. They only do the shots where you see their face like fully on, that kind of thing. But any kind of shots of them running and all the rest of it, it's all stunt doubles.
I've shot videos for companies
who are you?
I work for. With top level players, and they were involved.
No, they are involved. But as I say, with often some of the shots where they're running and then they're shot from behind.
We're talking
that.
Like big Nike kicking.
I'm
not talking about you and Clint Hill.
And also, we did mention Spurs earlier, but what an achievement by Harry Kane, by the way.
Yeah, Harry Kane.
20 goals.
20 plus goals.
20 Premier League goals for a third season in a row. Mm. But apparently, Alan Shearer's done 30 plus goals three times in a row.
Yeah,
that is unbelievable. That is almost literally unbelievable.
If you think about the clubs he played for.
I know!
Yeah, but that Donny.
Yeah. Got no choice, has he?
Yeah, that's right.
It's all based in fact.
Indeed, he hates Blackburn Rovers.
Yeah.
So they did win the league.
Yeah.
a Blackburn, like the title winning Blackburn team, like an ex to you. Like an ex you're jealous of.
What, a successful ex in my era of exes?
Well, narrow that down.
We're talking about exes and Pete Donaldson, so we must move on before the lawyers turn up. West Brom were beaten by Liverpool 1-0 at home. Ben Foster had a lovely time at the end of the game.
That was brilliant. I enjoyed that so much.
The game wasn't much to go on, but that.
I was about to say, I enjoyed it very much because the game was dreadful. Yeah.
That's why you should never leave football early. You never know what's going to happen, even if it's a bit drab like that. Pulis wasn't happy either. I say either. I'm sure there were a lot of fans who were unhappy as well. I just thought it was great. He did the first raid, call it a raid, and then it went back, and I thought, he's still there.
Yeah,
triangle.
My favourite thing about triangle. It was Albert Moreno missed the first
that was
open
poor.
Goal from us. Like, really, really poor. But then when Foster was still up there the second time, the ball came to Mourinho, and he just wanted rid of it.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be the guy taking the responsibility again.
I mean, you call it a raid. It was more of a sort of tentative inquiry. Yeah. just scoping out the territory.
Yeah, it was just the commandos
just
in World War
II. Just a slight recce.
I'll have a look around the house, but I'm not sure I'm going to purchase.
Klopp was very pleased with the win, and so he should be. Any win on the road is good. He said it was a very hard place to go, and he said this is because it's difficult to influence things on the pitch as the ball is in the air so much and you have to wait for it to come down.
Oh, that's a dig.
Diggles.
Lovely dig. Diggles.
Pulis doesn't care about that sort of stuff,
no,
does
of course he?
In the post-match interview, his comments were very telling, where he was asked about, you know, because, you know, as we were saying earlier in the season, like, he's still not the most popular person at West Brom, isn't he? Because of the style, and the criticism of his style was put to him, and I think it was Jonathan Pearce said, you know, do you think about that stuff? Does it bother you? And he's like, I don't really care. Mm. I've been doing this a long time, and you know, I know what I'm doing, and you know, sometimes people's perceptions are wrong, and I like that about Pulis.
Well, he's absolutely right. I mean, it's effective. I mean, I'd know more than one West Brom fan who doesn't like him.
Yeah,
I'm not an expert on the club.
According to Pulis, that most of them like him, though.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. Given what he's done.
According to Tony Pulis, Tony Pulis gets the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, there was a lovely moment between him and Jonathan Pearce when Jonathan Pearce said, "But do you care what I think?" And he went, "Of course I do, sweetie."
Do you respect Arsenal fans?
We all do. That would be.
Did it touch you?
Yeah. All right. Come on. Sorry. Stop doing the inside jokes.
Yeah. The inside jokes.
Are there any outside jokes, Marcus?
Not in that get up.
My clothes are an outside joke.
I'm determined to force through this trope of Pete's rubbish clothes.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I've just got the bit between my teeth.
But the thing is, I'll
say what I said months ago. You buy one jacket from ASOS and you think you're Oswald Boateng, Luke.
It wasn't actually. I think it was like, I think sadly it was actually H&M. So yeah. Even worse than that.
Which is the exact shop you were criticising him for shopping in.
Yeah. But you, I mean, I'm not saying there aren't good items in there.
Right.
Do you mean?
You've got to find them. We should do a Trini and Susanna and get down.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that.
And dress each other.
Well, you can do it at the break because we're off for one of them now, but we'll be back in just a sec.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
On the 27th of May, that's a Saturday, the Football Ramble, that's us, we'll be playing our only live show of the summer at the Hackney Empire in London. Back again.
Mm.
Back in the habit at the Hackney Empire.
I'm going to burn that place down this time.
Let's hope not, Peter, because all four of us are going to be there. And we're going to recap the season in fine style, indulge in a little bit of crowd participation and interaction, we think. Terrified of what Pete is going to bring to the live arena this time. As
my tag. My tag the judge gave me.
The mind simply boggles. But tickets are on sale now and are available via our social media feeds and at hackneyempire.co.uk, so don't miss out, you beauties.
I met someone at the weekend who has already got tickets, and he looked pretty pleased with himself. Well he might be.
So if you want to be pleased with yourself, get your tickets for Football Ramble live.
We're going to have loads of fun.
It's the end of the season. Get involved.
It's a party.
Blow out.
We'll get that tag off you and we'll do it live.
Yeah.
And it is the day of the FA Cup final. Do not worry. We're going, I think it's about 8 o'clock the show will start, so it'll be well after all said and done in the FA Cup final. So
Pete, have you got one of those ankle tags that when you break it open, it puts ink all over you?
Is that a case?
I
mean, the old you know who I am.
I think that's banknotes.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Gordon Bennett. Peter, you got some emails over
how
there.
How long did you work for G4?
Oh, actually, no, that was how you got the tag, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Read your emails out.
You're
scammer. On, you're up.
You got your
Marcus. Just take me a little bit of time to locate them on the page, but don't worry about it.
Locate them on the page.
Marcus, last week, didn't have them out of his bag, did he?
This is an improvement.
Yeah,
I've got them out.
Yeah.
All right? Greetings, Ramblers.
Pete, read your email.
Greetings, Ramblers. Mark basically wants to make it clear that when I discussed a practice, and it was discussed, where chili was applied to a horse's nether regions in order to make it run faster. Apparently,
it says more about me that I don't even remember that.
No, I remember
in the litany of things you said, Donaldson, that's not even registered.
Apparently, it was done, but not at race, not on race cards. They were doing. They used to do it at horse shows and stuff like that. They would do it at horse shows to make the horse look more lively and therefore younger.
Okay. And so of all the corrections and clarifications we notch up on this show, you thought that one was worthy of mentioning, did you?
Well, it's called gingering, apparently, and it involves placing a piece of ginger around the horse's bits.
Well, listen, I like the fact that listeners will probably hear our show and think, of all the mistakes they make, at least they've corrected the chilli sauce on horse's testicles.
I would like to say to those who've bought tickets to the Hackney Empire, one of us will be gingered. So see if you can figure out which one of us it is.
Dancing Donaldson.
No, seriously, I'm up for it.
It was that email from Mark, and he says, I am a Sunderland fan, and if nobody's going to retire our own clueless ginger, David Moyes to the paddock where he belongs. Perhaps a spot of gingering may make him actually show some inner emotion or effort.
That's taken a turn, isn't it?
That is nice. Was he not a classic ginger, David Moyes?
Ginger.
All right.
I guess.
Go on then.
Hello to Andrew Walker. During your NFL kicker chat, I was surprised there's no mention of former Spurs and QPR player Clive Allen spending a season as kicker for the London Monarchs.
I remember
remember that.
I do remember that vaguely. Yeah, but the problem. Who? What's the name of the man?
Andrew Walker.
I can't mention everything, Andrew. We got horses' testicles to talk
especially
about,
especially when we can't remember it. Andrew.
Exactly. Gareth the Black Man says, following from last week's email about the player's mum in the Aberdeen club shop, my wife tells a similar story from her time working in the Blackburn Rovers club shop in the mid 90s. A man came in with his kids one day, picked a couple of kits out for them, and then he goes to the till and basically says, "Will you put them on my account, please?" Her response is something along the lines of, "Well, who are you?" He points at a life-size poster of Billy McKinley right behind her.
Oh, really?
It was Billy McKinley.
Combative midfield operator Billy McKinley in the mid-90s, which was a golden era for Blackburn.
I like that a lot. Philip Arena says dogs definitely do get jet lag.
Okay. Good to know. I'll note that down.
Yeah, put it down.
Yeah, I got it down. That's one more in the ado column.
This comes from Jimmy Watt, and it's a lovely story about meeting footballers.
Okay, Jimmy.
So, as a 16 or 17-year-old, I was employed as a room service waiter at the time at one of Newcastle's finest hotels, Luke.
Is this the start of a porno?
It could be a start of a porno. Yeah. Lift up the big domed plate.
I'm excited. Lift up the big domed plate.
I don't know what you call it.
It's neither why, but I don't know if that's relevant.
Exactly.
It's not relevant, is it?
Well, I'm just... Well,
oh, you lift up and
there's a bum.
There's a
bum in there.
There's a big arse.
It's a fresh and chili peppered horse's testicle.
I have a couple of short stories which may qualify me for Friend of the Ramble State as well. Will be the judge, Jimmy Watt. Yeah. During a summer tournament Newcastle were hosting, I was asked to take up a trolley of sandwiches, chips and beers to one of the rooms hired out for Bayern Munich. On entry to the room, door opened by Lisa Rizzo himself.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
I found Oliver Kahn, Lisa Rizzo, Zé Roberto and a player I didn't recognise to be playing cards.
Big money on the
big money on the table, drinking beer and watching hotel pornography. Tip, €20.
It was a start of porno. Tip, €20 though. Wow. The thing I liked about that is the way he said, "I found Oliver Kahn." Yeah. Located.
Yeah. Like he was in the dumb waiter.
Yeah. €20 though, but that's only five. That works about €5 each. That's actually quite poor.
Do you reckon?
I think if I was a top level pro. Top level footballer and I was getting room service, I'd be tipping €100.
If you're tipping everyone though, you can only have a limited amount of money.
That's what he's got on him.
Fair enough.
And anyway, they've got all the money on the table. They're doing poker, for crying out loud. Yeah. You don't want to lose your shirt. For the same tournament...
Watching porn and playing poker at the same time.
Yeah. Just like the dog picture. Yeah. for the same tournament, being called very late past midnight to take beers to the Sporting Lisbon floor.
Ooh.
On which I was greeted by a naked Ricardo, the goalkeeper, dancing naked to some trancy Europop.
Can that be true?
Of course it can.
He said, good job, he's good at football. He did not have the anatomy for Magic Mike. Tip, £20.
Okay. So it's a fairly consistent level. £20 is better. Top level footballers.
Obviously, Ivan Campo. Ivan Campo refusing to eat with the rest of the travelling Bolton squad and ordering a
Niçoise
salad to his room. Tip, £10.
Okay.
It's a light lunch.
You don't know what a salad Niçoise is?
I know what it is, I just don't know how to say it.
I don't know what it is.
Have you ever ordered it then?
I don't want it, it's a salad.
Okay, fair point.
I eat pepperamis and crisps. I'm
a fine one to talk.
a newly signed shy 17 or 18, he's got a real problem with 17, 18, 16, 17, this lad, bless him. 17 or 18 year old James Milner ordering strawberry ice cream to his suite. No tip, but he did ask if I wanted a game of Pro Evolution Soccer.
Oh,
that's nice, isn't it?
That's better than a tip.
Finally, for
who
now.
Who was that, Pete? And who,
that was
James Milner.
James Milner.
But there
was
no tip.
But he was very young.
Ice cream, yeah.
I'm just writing this down. I've got Bayern €20, Ricardo £20, Campo £10, Milner no tip.
Yeah, but Milner was
offer
very,
of Pro Evo.
He was very young. Yeah, so.
Can you write down?
I love how you put all of Bayern Munich have offered €20.
Well, I was paraphrasing there.
Yeah, okay.
Can you write Ricardo's cock down as well?
Yeah, I've got that.
That's a gift in itself.
True enough.
Ricardo. Apparently not.
Marcus,
I'll put £20 tip brackets penis out.
Good.
But he can't tip because presumably if he's fully naked, then he's got. No, where's he going to keep his nose?
He's in his hotel room. Presumably if he's got his money with him,
he was dancing in the hotel. I thought he was down the corridor.
Where do you think he was?
I thought. Sorry, I blacked out.
Having a naked corridor Euro dance party.
Yeah, fair enough. You haven't lived until you've had one.
Well, true. We've been to Newcastle. It could happen.
Yeah.
Marcus.
Hello.
Sven.
Now you're talking.
Ordering champagne to his suite, asked if I was a Newcastle fan. On my positive response, he gave me €30 in tip, saying 10 for Kieran, 10 for Jermaine, and 10 for maybe Shola one day.
Really?
Lovely.
That's a lovely story.
Sven often utilises a big tip.
That is a lovely story. Do you know what?
Dyer, Genis, Amiobi.
He was clearly entertaining as well. He's not just having a bottle of champagne on his own, is he?
If you've got any other stories about footballers tipping, don't make them up. Do send them in, because that's fantastic. So at the moment, the leader is Sven Göran Eriksson with €30.
Decent. decent.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Marvellous. So we're going back to the Premier League. I think we are, ladies and gentlemen. Watford, they're going to stay in the Premier League, aren't they? They've reached the Holy Grail of 40 points. There was quite celebratory scenes because I think they believe that they've survived, and they probably have, to be fair. They're up to 10th. It's mental, yeah, isn't it? Watford are in the top half of the Premier League.
Was Walter Mazzari celebrating?
He was, actually. He got it was a nice firm hug he shared with one of his backroom staff.
It was a hug that said, I'm enjoying the moment, but I know I'm going to be off. Yeah.
This is, in a way, this is a goodbye. Let's talk of Ranieri coming in, isn't there?
Is that right? That would be amazing. Wow. That would be amazing. It's like Watford have thought, well, if you get Ranieri, you'll definitely win the league.
Yeah, quite.
What are we waiting for?
I mean, we're going to get rid of Mazzari anyway, whatever he does. So.
if Watford finish in the top half, that's a remarkable job for Mazzari.
Brilliant.
I know the top half...
Again, he'll still lose his job.
No, of course he will, yeah.
And that was a poor game, by the way, wasn't it?
And that's the Watford way. Yeah. It was a very, very poor game. But Swansea, oh, dearie me, they really needed something out of that. Paul Clement has said the match against Stoke at home is a must win. And he's right, because they
His
then
English
go...
His is really coming on, by the way, Paul Clement.
It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, brilliant. It's better than Mazzari's.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is, yeah. They go to Manchester United, then they've got Everton at home, and they finish with two games against Sunderland and West Brom. But they've got to make sure they're still in it by then.
Yeah.
You say that, but if they win against Sunderland and West Brom, I think they might be okay.
Do you think?
Possibly.
Brilliant. Yeah, but with those games before, yeah, with Hull, who are still just ahead of them.
Yeah. Hull's home form as well is a real...
Haven't Hull got 3 out of 5 at home or something like that? But they're relying on it too much. They are relying on it an awful lot. That's the problem. Mm, it's difficult to predict. It's difficult to predict.
It's tough for Swansea because they need a second Clemaisance, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
It doesn't really happen that often.
It's pronounced Nissoir, so...
Yeah, so they really need to Clement their place. Stop in the Premier League.
Yes, they absolutely do. I mean, but...
Has
a new manager bounce made us think that Clement's better than he is?
But it's possible, worry, that it? Is possible, yeah.
Maybe.
End of the day, someone's got to go down with Sunderland and Middlesbrough. No one wants to go to the party with them, but you've got to. Yeah. Well, he's got the invite, you've got to go.
The thing is, they look back to that sort of brittle husk that they were under Bob Bradley, like Alfie Mawson switching off for the goal in a poor game. They could have got a point there because you know there wasn't a lot going on. It's, you know, he's had a good season. He's clearly a good player. I feel bad singling him out almost. But it's those little lapses in concentration when they need to be fighting really hard have crept back in, and that was part of the reason they're in that position in the first place.
It's a good time to play certain teams. I'm not using this as a good example, but I'm just saying that a lot of teams.
Chelsea.
Well, a lot of teams in the league haven't got anything to fight for. Mm-hmm. If you're battling relegation, chances are you're going to come up against one of those teams, and you need to be putting them away.
I think Swansea might well Clement that result against Watford, but there we are.
I don't know what that means.
Lament. No.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Oh, actually, good. Yeah, good.
Thank you very much.
You changed it from cement to lament. Yeah. You can't do that.
I've done.
It's very clever.
Of course I can. Yeah, I'm switching it up, bro. Yeah.
You can't transform a pun 10 seconds later.
If you don't want to get involved, stay on the sidelines, okay?
Marcus, he hates puns, apparently. Yeah.
Look at his brain ticking away. Come on, I'll think of one quick enough.
The meaning changed in slight increments.
Yeah, I want to know why you hate puns about 6 months ago. Now, suddenly, you're the world's fucking expert in them.
I'm not. I'm just saying that I like the purity of the pun when it's a pun. Don't mess around with it.
Marcus,
you're going to use them.
Is that actually
properly
a pun or is it wordplay?
Don't buy a nice samurai sword and wave it around.
What there the you go. That's what we've taken from that. No, Marcus.
What does that mean?
No, don't. No. Move on. That's
wave
fine.
Around willy-nilly.
That's the last one.
Well, use it on someone. Use it on someone properly.
Okay.
Like, don't do a Ricardo with it.
Sorry, everybody. I'll put my samurai sword away then.
Yes.
Stoke beat Hull 3-1. Three lovely goals from Stoke. Shaqiri with a contender for goal of the season. A very satisfying one.
Beautiful goal.
When he first hits that, for the first kind of few frames of it, it's travelling at a certain speed, and then for the last few frames, if you know what I mean, it suddenly just speeds up and just whacks in the top corner.
I mean, it's like being married to Gerard Piqué has really paid off for his game. He's improving all over the place. Well, they're football's power couple. They are.
I just think don't buy a dolphin when you need a toaster.
No,
is that how it works?
Yeah.
Me?
That's a good
that how you do this?
I like that one. Yeah. Yeah. I'll take that.
I really want Shaqiri to lob the keeper so I can come to this show and say, his chips don't lie. I haven't been given the opportunity. I bookmarked it about 2 years ago.
You know, a lot of his goals come from outside of the box, don't they? I think his last 4 or 5 in a row have been from outside, which is pretty brilliant.
I mean,
if a player's going to do it...
Jim, for the first half of that sentence, I was thinking about where you're going to go with the song title. And it just didn't come.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, why are you bringing Shaqiri gags in now, Luke?
Because we talked about Shaqiri, that's why.
Yeah, he's been in the Premier for a long time.
And he hasn't scored a chip.
Suddenly Pete's the bastion of all the good content on the show.
Don't buy a samurai sword, Luke.
No.
Don't even think about it.
I wasn't going to anyway.
The fans seemed unhappy that Berahino was taken off for Crouch. But the big man scored.
Yes, I'm surprised by that, because Berahino still hasn't scored.
No. Well, maybe that's why they're unhappy.
Are you surprised by that?
Well, I'm surprised they're unhappy. When that's
the
what I mean.
Yeah, no, fair point. When was the no one knows the answer to this. I'm not even going to answer
let's settle on ages ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
I love that you've not even got the question out there. Nobody will not know what you meant.
Don't think like that, actually. I was thinking to myself, well, unless it's today, I won't remember it anyway.
Oh, dear me. Hull are playing Watford next, which is probably a good time to do so, because Watford might well be on the beach.
The words that Hull want to hear read out, if they were listening to this show, is they've still got to host Sunderland.
Yep. Spurs on the last day.
Yeah.
But hopefully for them, they'll be safe as hares is.
Yeah.
By then. Let's move on to the Championship,
shall we? The big news.
Come
big
on.
This is where it's all happening.
The first of a South Coast bonanza. Brighton promoted back to England's top flight for the first time in 34 years.
So happy for Brighton. They deserved it. That club is absolutely ready to be in the Premier League. They've worked really hard to get where they are. They've missed out a few times, but they've built a squad that's really, really exciting, really good. And the journey they've been on in that time, like, there was a point they were playing their home games in Gillingham.
Yeah.
It's mad. That's crazy.
That's an amazing story. I mean, they were very close to sort of going out of the Football League, I think, 20 years ago. Yeah. One of the things that's really impressive about it, I think, is not only they've got a lot of great players and they fully deserve to be promoted, it's that when they missed out in such disappointment against Sheffield Wednesday in the playoffs last season, I think it was 2 days after they were knocked out of the playoffs in such sort of difficult fashion, they announced that Houghton had signed a new contract.
Yeah.
They were like, right, this is the man for us, we're going back in. They gave him the confidence and he's delivered for them. I'm very, very pleased.
He's done it before. He's a decent bloke. He deserved a better crack of the whip in Newcastle. So no doubt Pardew will be managed by Christmas.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't think Brighton would do that. I take the point. I don't think Brighton would do that. No. I don't think the only sort of blot, if you want to call it that, on Chris Hughton's copy, but really as a manager, is that time he spent in Norwich, which is a bit difficult for him. I was speaking to a couple of Norwich fans and they said, you know, he was quite dull, and maybe he's a little bit inexperienced.
Pochettino's dull.
But even when they signed, but even when they got rid of him, are you comparing him to Pochettino?
Yes, I am.
Job swap. They said even the Norwich fans were great pains. Excuse me to say. They loved Houghton. He's a great guy, really nice chap. Everyone loves him. So I'm very, very pleased for him.
Goes a long way.
I'm also excited to see Anthony Knockaert in the Premier League next year.
The juxtaposition, by the way, from Newcastle to have Chris Houghton there. So like all the staff get, oh, he's a lovely fella, and then Pardew comes in.
Yeah.
first
meeting, nice guys come last.
Nice guys never get the girl.
Can you smell that? Can you smell that? Is it Lynx? Yeah. Yes, but it's also success. Yeah. So
is that a new Lynx brand? Nice guys come last. Turns out twats come last too.
Nice job. Nice girls come first.
Oh, come on.
It's nice that Houghton will be back in the big time again. And so will Glenn Murray and Anthony Knockaert. He didn't play that much for Leicester, of course, Knockaert, but he'll get a fair few more chances now, you would expect.
But he's a better player now. He's a young man.
Presumably he stays, which you would imagine he would. But they've got... One thing about Brighton is, on all the articles you read about them, is they've got a very tight-knit squad and there's a lot of friendships there. And this was seen very much so when Anthony Knockaert's dad died in November and around 10 of his teammates and Chris Houghton travelled to France for the funeral to support him, which was a great gesture. And also, did you see some of the players being crowd-surfed through the carriage on the train?
I must say, though, I think that happens every time a Southern train leaves on time.
Yeah, that's true. I've experienced
it's been
that.
Overstated.
A local gag there for those of you who don't watch the South East News, which you probably don't. But it's great to see. That, as you said, very likeable club. Very likeable club indeed. By most accounts, if not all, apart from Palace's accounts, they don't tend to like him. Newcastle.
That could happen again, that weird derby in the Premier League.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Palace and Brighton, my goodness. Newcastle, they're doing their best to bugger it up, aren't they?
Yeah, they're having a lovely time, aren't they?
I mean, it's almost unbuggerable, but you're having a go.
Yeah, bums are in the air.
Are you worried?
No, because I think that Derby equaliser was very important. I think it's two wins, Newcastle go up, or wins or two wins in a draw.
As Jim says, it looks unbuggerable. Because some of the other teams down there, Newcastle and Leeds, were both in decent positions and they've both gone. The recent history of our clubs, what we do.
It's still pretty
Leeds
bad,
are out,
though.
Leeds are out the playoff spots.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But Newcastle are playing like a team that will not get another point this season.
Am I right in thinking that at one point you were 12 points clear at the top, or am I thinking of something else?
I think you think it's something else there, Jim. What a cheeky boy. What cheeky little boy is this
I
week?
I thought that was excellent.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well, Pete.
Newcastle beat Brighton in Brighton as well not that long ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, there we are.
So Pete, is this the fact that Newcastle are playing so badly, is that clothing you're wearing some sort of like avant-garde protest about it?
I need more room because it's squeaky bum time. I need more room, my nethers.
Yeah, I think realistically, though, to drag it back to sort of semi-serious chat, the other teams aren't consistent enough at the moment, are they? So Newcastle are going to stumble over the line. But
Newcastle are going to be fine. Up. They're going to be just fine.
I'll eat my hat if they don't go up.
You're not even wearing one.
I know.
I'll present the show in my underwear. but Leeds, they've dropped out the playoff. Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday both gained some momentum.
Fulham have timed it very nicely.
They have indeed. And Sheffield Wednesday have pushed on as well because they saw the threat of Fulham. Can Fulham threaten people? I don't think so.
Well, sorry.
I don't think they can, Jim? The thought of Fulham threatening people has choked you out.
I was going to say with litigation.
I was about to say something about how owls are very easily frightened, so it could happen. And Sheffield Wednesday are the owls.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Pete. Some of the stuff you popped up with earlier.
I'm not being funny, but you,
to be fair, it wasn't your best work, Luke. I appreciate the effort, but then you threw Pete under the bus.
I couldn't stop thinking about Sean Wright Phillips.
There's your mention.
Here we go.
Then again, we were talking about him earlier.
That's annoying. You played the ace card.
Yeah.
That means none of us can play it now.
I neared the lifeboat. I was drowning. Absolutely drowning.
Get out of jail free.
I was drowning in the sea of shit gags.
Oh, bollocks. I thought I might need that later on in the show, but there we are. It's gone now. Harry Redknapp is back in business, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's the headline.
Yeah.
Pete's new feature, the new feature, Harry Redknapp knee watch.
Yeah. How is it?
Well, obviously they've improved. Yeah. They must have improved.
Yeah, took a while.
It's all like sitting in helicopters.
To bring people up to speed, Gianfranco Zola has tenderly resigned from Birmingham.
In the Keeganist way as well.
8% win record.
I'm not up for it. We could have told you that ages ago. You are not up to the job.
It wasn't about points, Luke. It was about bringing huge international names into the club.
Is that
Craig Gardner, Jerome Sinclair, people like that, you know.
Yeah.
Your household name.
Zola resigned after 4 months.
Jerome Sinclair taking time off for a launch of his latest fashion line.
We were scathing, as many were, that Zola was given the job and Rowett was chucked out. But Zola,
can I just say, it's because he's not a very good manager.
Of course, but Zola...
A rare success from the Ramble.
Zola said, well, is it a success because Redknapp's there now?
Yeah.
Oh, that is box office for us, and you know it.
I was going to say,
we've been
hoisted
by our own
about,
Redknapp, haven't we?
The thing, everything about Redknapp is so, like, do you know what? We've all been in the position where you start doing the research for this show, and you think, it's a bit of a slow week or whatever. And that can happen from time to time. Redknapp is announced this morning, and it just flies out.
Yeah.
Everything just rolls off the top.
It opens up.
So much stuff. I mean, I've just in about half an hour, I managed to find out that Guardian reported that he'd been parachuted in. Yeah. Not with those knees, even. I heard him on the interview with TalkSport, where he was at great pains to make it clear, I think at least 3 times, that the last manager only won 2 out of 22.
Yep.
Don't get your hopes up. Yep. I haven't got a magic wand.
Not going to turn them into
a... This is from his car as well.
I'm not going to turn them into Real Madrid. Well, damn right you know.
Yeah,
you're Harry Redknapp.
Yeah, and the last thing is that he also can't sign Nico Kranjčar because he's poor old Nico is the only player with worse knees than Redknapp.
Yeah. Redknapp did say he'll live up there until the end of the season.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Three games.
Yeah, right. Why is his residence always such a big thing? It's so strange, isn't it?
It's the sandbanks, isn't it?
Zary. Do you know who his assistant's going to be?
Cottrell, isn't it?
Luke Moore's favourite, Steve Cottrell.
It reminds me
Redknapp and Cottrell, Luke Moore.
It reminds me of a story that is sadly gone the radar on this show about Kevin Bond, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Bond has been assistant to Redknapp with a lot of different clubs. Mm. He's been at. He may even go to Birmingham with him, I don't know. He's announced that Cottrell was going to be his number one assistant manager, but Bond might go there as a coach. There's a lot of chat that all Kevin Bond is really is someone who lived near Redknapp in Sandbanks that could drive him to training every day. So he's just like a glorified driver, right? Yeah, that's not even the funny part of the story, right? I was doing the Great South Run, which is a 10-mile race around Portsmouth in October each year, and it was about 4 years ago, and Kevin Bond was actually running it, right? And everyone knows about Kevin Bond being the driver and all this sort of stuff. It's like a bit of a running joke in parts of Portsmouth.
Did he give you a lift to the finish line?
Well, this is the thing, right? So I was running about the same pace as Kevin Bond, so I saw him a few times. He's quite a bit older than me. I'm not a very good runner, so I was quite near him. And at one point, I promise you, someone shouted out, "Fuck me, Kevin, you've not got the car with you today."
That's brilliant.
No respect. No respect for a man just trying to do his best.
No, don't do it for charity. He wants to do it for charity as well.
Oh, Well, there's no respect for Zola, who's trying to do his best, but he said that Birmingham deserves better. This goes back to your earlier comment about
again, we could have said that before.
The keeping thing. If I cannot help the team, it is better I leave and let someone else do it.
Oh, you could have said this ages ago.
It's just brilliant.
When they were about seventh.
Well, they were. Rowett was sacked when they were seventh, equal on points with sixth. Rowett's now in charge of Derby, who's, of course, and they're in ninth, but sensational.
Well, Birmingham could, I mean, look, teams down there by definition don't win many games, but if you look at the other teams down there, Forest and I think Blackburn,
yeah.
Two big clubs. I mean, there's no, it wouldn't be a huge surprise. People will say, oh, yeah, well, you haven't watched them this season. I have seen Forest a couple of times, actually. But they're a big club. It wouldn't be a huge surprise if they were to pick up a few points. And if they do, Birmingham are in bag in trouble. I think they're 3 points off relegation.
But you kind of, Harry Redknapp's kind of like a G the players up and just get them out there and just let them have fun. It might work, you know. Pete, it might keep them safe.
Fine. I completely agree with that. But 2 points. One, he's 70 years old. Yeah.
He's not managed
to. Yeah, a lot of those younger players probably won't even know anything about him.
But what Pete said, I mean, Redknapp's not, he's not going to be a player manager role, is he? It doesn't matter his age. He still can just be like, right, as Pete says, get out there, go on. He's not going to start saying, right, I've had a look at the tactics and the opposition and all this.
But
just get
three.
Out there. Well, they're not going to bloody. Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? They're not going to get many more points on the board if Zola's there. You know, so they might as well roll the dice. And Redknapp, it didn't work for QPR.
I hugely endorse this decision.
I'm delighted with this. It's like a little cameo at the end of the season. If he takes him down, do you think he'd be like, oh, you know what, my knees weren't ready. My knees are just not up to this job.
Well, if they stay, he said he's willing to talk to them.
Okay.
Willing to talk to them. He should be talking them a lot.
Yeah. I reckon there's something
it's
in
the main bit of his job.
Yeah.
I reckon there's something in this little temp contract that he's probably got, is if they go down, then he can just walk off.
Of course,
and not
it will
say,
be. Not just,
no. But without saying goodbye, nothing. Yeah, where they go, Harry, can you? Why don't you
just leave?
Read the contract. Yeah. Tap the contract, and he's away.
Talking to you in the post relegation environment will be an extra grand
per word.
Yeah. It's technically a sit-in.
Yeah.
In the pubs.
Exactly. There's more promotions to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the previous show, sponsored by Bet365, is out on Friday. Our man in the chair, the betting chair. He got it wrong.
He did, yeah, he's out of the...
Oh, shame.
He didn't get his hat-trick, JK.
It was close.
It was close.
But ultimately wrong.
Who was it who let him down? Southampton?
Yes, it was.
And they'll always let you down.
There we are. But he did well. He got a double.
Can I have a Southampton dig while we're on the subject?
Go on, then.
They haven't beaten a team in the top six all season. Flat-track bullies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will not get promotion like that.
We go from a Southampton dig to a Portsmouth promotion.
A team who have got promotion.
A team who are in the top six.
Have your moment.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic news. I was loving it. Absolutely loving it.
Plymouth and Portsmouth making it a South Coast promotion bonanza along with Brighton, because Plymouth are just about on the South Coast.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very close to Portsmouth.
Very near.
I can actually see Plymouth from where I used to live. One of the things that annoyed me, clearly I'm delighted that Portsmouth have been promoted. It's their first promotion since 2003, and they've got quite a young squad, actually. I was thinking about that earlier. A lot of their players are quite young. And
that is crazy. Sorry, you say it's the first promotion since 2003.
Yeah.
Because I think of Portsmouth, I think, oh, you're playing in loads of different leagues, and of course it's all just...
Well, no, they have been.
Down the Pompey Highway.
Well, it really annoyed me. I'd like to get my hands on the BBC Sport Instagram social media executive.
I'm sure you would.
Because
an 18-year-old boy, probably.
Well, it's good. I hope it is. And I hope it's intimidated by me. Because what happened was, they announced all these promotions on Instagram with all these different pictures of the teams involved. Yeah. For Portsmouth,
used
a picture of John Westwood.
For those that don't know, that's the guy with the bell.
Yeah, the worst Portsmouth fan around.
The bell with the bell.
You couldn't find a picture of a player or a manager. You have to use him. Disgrace. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for a proud institution.
It's only embarrassing for you lot.
Yeah.
It's keenly encouraged for the rest of us.
On our day of joy. Can you let us have a day?
He's ringing out the joy bell.
To be fair, it's preparing Portsmouth, because will they have any other days of joy?
Who knows?
In the coming seasons. We certainly hope so for their sake.
Yeah.
You know, but there we are.
I agree with that. But let's enjoy it while we can.
Indeed. Mm. Speaking of which, speaking of days of joy and whatnot, National League, Lincoln City made a stunning comeback to win, put them on the brink of promotion. I thought I'd put this in, because Lincoln, they were wobbling, but they captured our hearts and minds in the FA Cup, of course. They were 1-0 down away to Gateshead until big Matt Reed slotted a 90-minute penalty away, and then 3 minutes later Nathan Arnold got the winner. I mean, it was reminiscent of that night in Barcelona. Two goals in injury time. There was 3,800 roughly in attendance, 2,500 of which was from the visiting team, which was called Lincoln.
Wow. Portsmouth took 4,500 to Notts County.
Yeah.
In League Two, which is good as well.
Sure, yeah, but Portsmouth were in the Premier League not that long ago.
Yeah, but who's the real winner here?
Well, Lincoln were.
We're talking about Lincoln's win.
To be fair, Luke's had a lot of crap with Portsmouth. I don't blame him.
Which match was on telly?
Yeah, well, Portsmouth were on telly the other day.
Right. Was
the camera just on John Westwood?
Yeah, the whole time. Yeah. Who sums up this club better than anyone else? Better than all the players. Yeah.
All the stats, the history.
They've won four major trophies. Who should we have in the picture? John Westwood.
Yeah, not Nwankwo Wakanu.
No.
No, not him. It's nice to hear you upbeat about your team. You mentioned it. Imagine what Pete will be like if Newcastle get the fourth round of the FA Cup.
I know. Pete won't, even if they get promoted, Pete won't like it, because he won't think Newcastle deserve it.
No, true, yeah.
I'll get covered in tattoos and ring a bell.
Can't wait for the relegation. That's what
we'll be. Well, we're only going to go down next season, so what's the point? Yeah. Might as well have stayed there.
Might as well have gone down again.
At least we could join the promotion back to the championship.
I refuse to be pictured as a Lawrenson character on this podcast. I'm not having it.
I think
exactly what he would say, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Lawrenson is generous, to be fair.
Yeah.
Geeks.
Mind you, with that get up.
Oh, no! I was going to say, that clobber, Loro off camera, then you know. In Scotland, Hibs won the Scottish Championship on the weekend.
Saying take the mick out of people's clothes is just a very footballery thing to
do.
You
always say that.
Footballer in locker room. It's embarrassing. You're embarrassing yourself.
It's a football show.
Oi, I'd beat you in a drinking contest. Hibs, they won the Scottish Championship, you know, bless them. Neil Lennon reckons Hibs are good for a top six finish in the top flight next season if they can hang on to their best players.
It's only about eight teams, isn't it?
Yeah. For the tops, that's the breakaway.
I know there's nine teams in it.
There you go. Oh, dear. He still wants to fight Sean Duffy, incidentally.
Yeah. I've got a bit on that in the highlights later.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, well, that's good. Shall we go to Aberdeen for a remarkable story involving Banks O'D Football Club?
I love their name, because they're on the banks of the D. Yeah, what should we call them? Banks O'D.
Yeah.
All right. Simple as that. Oh, that's the admin done.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's where Banksy's from. A footballer was kicked over the fence in a youth match.
A footballer being kicked over a fence. Some achievement.
That would be quite something, Jim. It was involving Banks O'Dea in Scotland, the under-19s. The ball was kicked over the fence during this youth match. It went into the River Dee, and it went all the way to into the sea and was found 1,000 miles away in Norway on the island of Vanna, I think that's pronounced. Mm. And they received an email from a chap saying that the ball had been found because, and they knew it was their ball because it had been written on the side of the ball, which I thought was quite good. Good marker pen.
Well, it must have got there very quickly because it would have deflated otherwise, wouldn't it?
Well, apparently it's still usable.
Ooh, but apparently it came out the scene, the guy volleyed it all the way back.
Pete, if it's gone 1,000 miles in salty seawater, what sort of marker pen would that be?
Well, I was impressed.
Would it be the unrivaled Sharpie brand?
I think it might be a Stabilo Boss. They've moved into the... They've moved
the
into the...
He's got an answer to that, ladies and gentlemen. It's superb.
Hang on a minute. Stabilo Boss, for those who are uneducated in this matter, I believe I'm right in saying, Pete, they made their name in highlighters.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And they moved into permanent market.
They've darkened their brand.
Should we save this for the highlighters of the week?
you think Stabilo Boss, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll put my money would be on Sharpie, personally.
I'd have a Lee Sharpie. Mm.
Yeah.
But the fact that the ball still actually functions.
What's your favourite pencil? Mine's a Blackwing.
Hang on, Jim was making a point about the ball there.
Yeah, but also there's more to this story, right? Because apparently the guy who found the ball has actually, incredibly, won a competition to have a tour around some Scottish distilleries. So he's going to be in Scotland anyway, so might as well bring the ball back.
Excellent.
Oh, look, everyone, I've not just been to Sports Direct and found a ball from Manchester United's...
Every single person.
...diamond mine.
But Pete, what I think should happen is every single person in Aberdeen should buy a football and write back to Dion and take it in and then mix them all up.
Yeah.
And you don't know which one's the real one.
It's like the end of Last Crusade, isn't it?
It's like when you're
thinking more Castaway, Wilson, normal business.
It's like when one of your younger siblings is having a bowl of Rice Krispies and you take one of the Rice Krispies, put it in your mouth, then put it back in the bowl, mix it up. They don't know which one it is.
You foul creature.
Tip.
Just a tip.
We've got another tip.
You're doing any cyberbullying. Well,
you put yourself into the bracket there. So we've got Sven on €30, Luke Moore.
Rice Krispies.
Licking a Rice Krispie. My goodness. Speaking of strange things, Tony Adams, let's go to La Liga, started his temporary head coach role.
Weird sentence, isn't it?
Granada.
Let's go to La Liga, Tony Adams. What the flip's going on?
Yeah. Did you see his training session?
Oh, I did.
I thought it was excellent. I just really enjoyed it. I think there's a lot to be said for managers going over to Spain and trying their luck. I know he's got a job through nepotism and he's pals with the chairman, blah, blah, blah. But he's doing it. He doesn't have to do it. Uh-huh. He's doing it.
They only lost 3-0.
And the best thing about it is that all the fans of English football will say, oh, well, the problem is our coaches, our managers don't go overseas, do they? They don't go overseas and learn.
They
go overseas, rip the piss out of them. Rip the piss out of them, mercilessly as much as you can until they come back a failure.
Yeah, Steve McLaren.
Yeah.
He won a league title.
He won two.
It gets the absolute mickey taken out of him.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, he did try and sound like a Dutchman. That's fine. Mm. And that is a literal sentence.
But in any other walk of life, that wouldn't be the takeaway from that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Like Jim says, won two league titles.
Yeah.
You know, that is the takeaway.
Yeah, with a really unfancied side as well. Just, mug McLaren. Yeah. And now you're back here, and now you're crap. It's like, he could have done.
Ah, you dickhead, you tried! You were trying!
Look, you're trying to better yourself.
Why don't more of you try this one?
You're pathetic. How's Adams getting on? Dunno. Look at this funny dance he's done.
It was a funny dance.
It was brilliant.
He won it for Edge. I don't know what he was trying to say.
Tony Adams.
What about his beige tracksuit trousers and blue polo shirt?
Oh, you're getting in on it now.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
That's a combination of the two things. It's Luke taking the piss out of Pete's clothes and that exact attitude.
It's called fashion, look it up.
By coincidence, that is what Pete's wearing.
Come back and wear a suit in the National League, you mug. Dear, oh dear. It is a funny one, Dan.
So that's the end of our Spanish roundup.
Oh, dearie me. But ahead of the Clásico this weekend, Sergio Ramos mentioned that Gerard Piqué shouldn't come out with his usual stuff about Madrid stirring things up, which is sort of stirring things up.
Yeah. Love it.
I read that
you don't need to, mate. I've done it.
I read a book about Carlo Ancelotti's just authored a book about his leadership skills and how he's become a successful manager. He talks about Sergio Ramos in it, saying he's an absolutely outstanding individual.
Oh, he can. He's a very handsome man as well.
He doesn't mention that, but I agree with you.
Indeed, yeah. But obviously, a huge derby, the Clásico is coming up. But there was unsavoury scenes in another big derby on the continent on the weekend. In the the Copenhagen derby, rather, happened on the weekend. Bromby and FC Copenhagen. Some Bromby supporters threw dead rats at an opposition player when he went to take a corner.
Where have they got those from?
Have they killed them there? Or them alive?
I reckon they had them in storage. Like put it in the freezer.
Do you think?
Thawed them out for the day.
Yeah, they did look defrosted, to be fair.
If anyone in this room knows anything about a rat storage, my money's on Donnie again.
An optimal how damp the air is, so it's just important. That's your biggest problem with dead rats and their storage.
I like pens and dead rats, I tell you what.
How many would you be keeping in one sort of storage container?
I would put them all in a cardboard box. I'd put about 5 per cardboard box on top of a dehumidifier. So.
Do you stack the rats?
No, they wouldn't be touching.
No.
Because you might use them for different reasons.
They might use them for different reasons.
Yeah. Like chucking them at a rival player in a derby game.
I guess you wouldn't want to contaminate them.
And here's where us as a show can really stand out with this sort of stuff. So we'll talk about this. No doubt that newspaper, whoever it is, we don't mention them because most of the newspapers we don't like.
Yep.
They we'll use their stuff.
Yeah,
we don't like them. They've reported that, probably, I would say. I haven't read the story, but imagine they've reported that as a negative thing. Yeah. That's how we can differentiate ourselves. Because I bloody love that.
Indeed,
and I endorse it wholeheartedly.
That is quite neat. Leads us neatly onto what the Bromby sporting director said. He said it's unfortunate there are some visitors who could not figure out how to behave properly.
Yeah.
Is this behaving properly? We haven't figured it out yet, you mug.
Oh, it's such a Rubik's Cube of social behaviour.
Oi, I'll suck it and see. Try it now.
Would you prefer mice?
And I love the fact that we talk on this show before about fans in this country particularly writing banners and embarrass themselves. Mm. Like their kid coming down in the morning on the kitchen table and dad's writing a banner out.
Yeah.
Mm. Imagine the dead rats.
What
are you doing? can you put this rat in your pocket? I've run out of space. Yeah. What is happening?
To find one rat is hard enough, surely. I mean, to find like 10.
It must be coordinated as well.
Yeah. I've only ever seen, I've lived in London for the best part of 15 years now. I've only ever seen one, probably two rats. Rats.
Really?
I've seen mice. Okay. I've only ever seen two rats. So, I mean, that's some effort, really.
Tell you what,
unless they've got a hitherto unreported rat problem.
Pet shop.
Yeah, mild possible. But then they're killing them.
Yeah, I know. Euthanizing rats, not right.
That's more sinister.
I'm now not on their side.
Let's get the highlights of the week quickly.
What have we got here?
Highlights of the weekend, bruv.
Nick Aspie says, my highlight of the weekend came from the mouth of Danny Higginbotham during his... is it Higginbotham or Higginbotham?
Higginbotham, isn't it?
Whatever. Yeah, he spelled it Higginbotham there, so the joke's on him.
That's right.
During his co-commentary on the Newcastle v Leeds game, explained that the referee was wise not to dish out an early booking or two as it would, and I quote, set a precedency.
He's gone all in there, hasn't he?
We've mentioned this before, but can we go back to the fact that his autobiography is called Rise of the Underdog?
There you go. Marvellous stuff, Nick. Thank you, mate. Jack French says, whilst I'm fully aware that football has been happening, my highlight of the week is that Dean Gaffney is returning to EastEnders.
Ooh,
twin this with Big Harry off the dole and now in a job, it's like I've stepped back into 2005.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive. Again. Thanks for that, Jack. Another Jack here. This is a different Jack, I think, but although they're both in London, so if this is the same Jack, you've done bloody well for yourself here.
Jacques Hughes.
My highlight of the week, I'm looking forward to Brighton v Southampton next season in the Premier League. First of all, that's not a highlight of the week. Being dubbed as a rivalry, perhaps we could rename it Al Classicost. I'll see what you've done there, Jack.
That's
Al
Classicost.
That is nice.
I'll be totally honest with you. The only reason I've read that out is because I didn't have time to do the highlights of the week this week and Pete did them for me. Yeah. That would have never made it in.
But that goes. Pete likes the pun or the wordplay, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. Well, sometimes.
Why is this?
Yeah.
What?
And we don't have time.
I'm going to leave the final parting shot of this show to Ian Cross, who's been in touch, saying after Neil Lennon's ban for fighting Jim Duffy, his solicitor was in quotes out of the county for the meeting, so they've had to postpone it 4 days, which happens to be after Hibs Scottish Cup semi-final clash against Aberdeen.
Yeah, fantastic.
He'll do that. He says out of the county. He might be out of the country, but he's written out of the county, so we'll stick it with that. Mm. That's from Ian Cross. Thanks for that, Ian. Thanks to everyone else.
I think it was postponed, so the people who are chairing that meeting can have a panic button put in under the table.
Yeah, possibly. We need one of those.
Press that button.
I almost pressed it when I saw what Pete was wearing.
It's a four now, isn't it?
Tell your...
Not a visual feature.
God, you said off before we came in about your Sunday league... story.
Oh yes, come okay. On. So I was come watching. On. I was away for Easter. I went to go visit the family, and there's some playing fields. This will be my heart of the weekend, if you like. Some playing fields at the back of the house, and Sunday morning you can hear them playing. It's so close. So I walked over there just to have a little walk around the field and have a look. And
take your boots with you, did you?
Nah, I didn't. No. it's just demeaning now. And there was a typical nippy Sunday league winger. Yeah, winger. Oh, I know he's playing.
I thought you needed help.
He's a good player. Typical winger in the Sunday league. Pretty tricky. Loved it. Fancied himself. Quite quick. Quite small. And there's a sort of, shall we say, more rotund fullback playing opposite him. And I don't know whether there had been a bit of need before I turned up, but for some reason the winger was very disinclined to try and take the fullback on. He kept getting the ball, taking the touch, putting it inside, and not taking the fullback on, which I didn't like to see because we want to see a winger hammer down the ring, down the wing. Anyway, after this happened a few times, the fullback said, "Wait, your bottle job. Why aren't you going to take me on? Can't take me on. Why don't you take me on, you bottler?" And to which the winger turned around and said, "I can't be asked to run all the way around you fat."
Magnificent.
That's enjoyable.
It's great, isn't it, Peter?
Yeah. It's just nothing. Well, it's something vicious.
It's quite vicious. Yeah. I still enjoyed it though. Ah. There we go.
There we are. My highlight was David Villa's goal for New York City.
Yeah.
Get on that, everybody.
I enjoyed Wabi Kazri's goal as well. Direct from a corner, in off the very bottom of the post. Lovely.
Highlight from Sunderland, Jim. Yeah, my goodness. Well done. And well done to them.
Mm. I like Barini gone crazy and celebrating.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Point. too late, we fear, Peter. Mm. Although you might fear that as well. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. Any more for any more?
No, don't forget to get your Hackney Empire tickets Saturday 27th of May. They're on sale now.
Who knows what I'll wear, if anything.
Be an improvement.
Oh, dear. Someone's getting gingered, so.
I'm getting gingered.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
See you later.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.